Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Luke's massive storytelling podcast thing. Whoa, yeah. Here we go. Check it out now. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Luke's massive storytelling podcast thing. My name is Luke and this is my thing. I just want to quickly talk about the ads, all the ads at the start and the end of the show that have just recently popped up. You might have heard them. They're there simply to pay for the hosting. Before, I was paying £7.50 a month to host the show, and I didn't want to do that because I haven't got any money. So I moved the show over to a new host called Acast, and there's these little ads that at the start and the end of the show, and I don't mind them being there because I think they sort of bookend the show, and I'd rather do that than have the adverts inside the show. And a lot of hosts, they do this thing where they a lot of hosts and podcasts, they do this thing where they start the show by saying, oh, by the way, I really love Squarespace and all these other brands, and then the show starts, and it sounds a little bit fake. I mean, Squarespace is pretty good, to be fair, but I don't know, I'd just rather have them outside the show rather than have the ads in the show and have me talking about them over and over and over. I have to quickly mention, Keith, the film we made last week. It's sort of taken on a life of its own. It got picked up by Dig as the best short of the day, one of the days last week, and then that got quite a lot of views. And then it got picked up by Vimeo as the Vimeo staff pick, which is pretty big deal. I've always wanted to be a Vimeo staff pick. It's a badge of honor. And since it got picked by those guys, it's been getting crazy amounts of views. I think it's on about 25,000 at the minute. Lots of people commenting and stuff. And it got me thinking about when you're making stuff like this, you never really know what's really going to take off and what's just not going to. It reminded me of when you're sort of skimming stones, and you know when you're down at the lake and you're throwing little stones in the river. Some of the stones just bounce off the water, and they sort of get bounced, and they bounce further and further and just go off into the distance, and you think, Jesus Christ, that was pretty good actually. And then you get another one and you throw it, and it's just this disappointing kaplunk sound as it just goes straight into the water. And I mean, that's just the nature of what we do. We're just picking up stones and we're just throwing them. And maybe the longer we do this, the more stories we tell and the more stuff we make, we get better at throwing stones and trying to skim them. Or maybe we get better at picking the stone to throw. I don't know. But I don't know. I just feel like Keith was a good stone. Speaking of the 7-day story challenges, this last week was the fourth 7-day story challenge. I can't believe, is it four? Yeah, it's four. And I had a guy, a lovely dude called Ben Errington, who got in touch and said he wanted to write a little crime story in 7 days. And did he do it? Yeah, of course he did. It's a little story, it's called Die Pack. It's like a little crime thriller, bank robbery, little cool little short story. It's about 35 pages or something like that, and you know, it's a nifty little book. I really think you should check it out. Let's catch up with him and see what he thought about it all. Die Pack is now available. So
it is.
How does it feel to have it out there?
It feels good. It does feel good. It feels a little bit strange, sort of seeing it there on the
store.
Amazon store.
Yeah, I just checked and it's number 11 in the noir category at the minute.
No way, is it?
Yeah.
How do I check that?
If you go to the website, the page.
Yeah.
In like the description, like halfway down the page, it says what categories you're ranking in.
Oh, right.
I'm currently number 11 in the noir category.
No way.
Yeah.
Because I kind of just threw a couple of sort of categorizations at it, sort of like crime, thriller, noir, but I guess it kind of fits.
Yeah, that works. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the competition's like in those categories, but he seems to be doing pretty well. Have you had many downloads yet, or how have you found that?
I think there's been like 30 odd.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because obviously for the first day or so it was on as like the 99p price to be so people were paying for it. I think I had about 10.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
but that was pretty before. Good. That was before I posted it anywhere like Reddit, and I've been going on some sort of Facebook groups.
Yeah,
and posting it as well. And since then, I think there's been about another sort of 20 or so.
That's pretty cool. So
yeah, it's cool.
There's a website. I'm just gonna find it. Just 1 second. It's basically a big list. Okay, so it's authormarketingclub.com. If you go /members/submit-your-book, I'll send you the link over now.
Okay.
There's basically a big list of different Kindle promotion services that you sort of send them your link and say sort of how much it is, how much the deals are. It does take a bit of work. You've got to do it in each individual service. But this website it just groups all those services together, so you don't have to sort of have many different websites bookmarked.
Opening the link now, yeah.
So when you do a KDP promo, so when you go like free for 5 days or whatever, it's worth spending an hour going through each of those websites and or each of those submission forms. And just because you never know. It always seems to get quite a few, I don't know, just it sort of throws a lot of traffic your way.
And I'll do it.
And that gets that shoots you up the charts pretty quickly.
I'll dedicate some time to that tonight, I think.
Yeah. It can be a pain, like writing in the same thing over and over again, like the book description or whatever. But
yeah. What if I just write it all into a document? Hopefully I can just copy it over, can I?
Yeah, but they all ask for it in slightly different ways. And
damn it.
Yeah. that and Reddit, they're the two like big traffic generators. Have you found, did you post the book to those links I sent you earlier?
Yeah, I did. Thanks for that. I've never really used Reddit before, so it's all a bit of a learning curve for me. I was a bit confused by it, but I posted it on one link, and then the other time it told me that I was posting too much, even though it was only like the second time.
Yeah, you can't, because it's worried that you're going to spam everyone.
Yeah.
So you sort of have to wait 10 minutes, I think, between.
Yeah, that's understandable, I guess. But
Yeah,
I think I'll spend some time sort of doing that tonight.
It's because... understandable, but when you actually really want to spam people, it's quite difficult.
Yeah, it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. Let me spam you.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, man. No, I think you should be proud. I mean, it's a cool little book. Are you happy with it?
Yeah. I mean, I do feel a little bit proud. I mean, I was a bit sort of unsure because I think, obviously, as I explained to you before, I've never really done anything like this. I've never published something online or other in ebook format. So I was a bit unsure. And also, like, I think, as I told you before, not many people read my stuff. So it's not like there's always that tiny little bit of doubt. I don't know, where you think, is this all right? Is this good? I mean, I think it's good, but are other people going to enjoy it?
Yeah. So. I know what you mean, but something I've realized is that, like, you are not the best judge of your own work. Like, some things that I've made that I thought were really pants, like been responded to quite well, and other stuff that I was really proud of, just no one gave a crap.
That's the thing. That's why I feel a little bit apprehensive about feeling proud of something, because there is that little bit of that. Well, am I feeling proud of this just because I've completed something? And also because it was done in 7 days, like that's not a natural way for me to work.
Yeah.
So to do it and get it out there in 7 days felt unnatural. And I think that was why that doubt was there.
Yeah. So would you normally spend a lot longer, do you think?
Yeah, too long. A lot. Yeah, I'd sit on stuff for a long time.
Yeah.
I've got stuff I'm sitting on now that may not see the light of day.
Yeah. Well, I think it's good to get, to get this first one out there to sort of get over that publishing like hump, because if you, I don't know, there's a bit of a fear to it, and I think once you've done it once, it doesn't feel quite as bad the next time. So
I think before I quite literally had no idea of how to do it anyway. Yeah. So obviously with your help and guidance has kind of helped me look a bit more into it, do my own research.
Yeah.
So it has helped. So now that I've got that knowledge, I may feel more inclined to sort of publish something if this is the way to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas before, obviously, I thought, I could finish this and then I might send it to my friends, but I don't really know how else to get out there. I think I always thought that just publishing an ebook, it was a lot of money, it was a lot of time.
No, that's what I always... Yeah, I see it very similar to how, you know, as an indie band or an indie filmmaker will put like a short film or, you know, put an EP online.
Yeah.
I think it's very similar to that. Like, I don't really see that much
it
of a
is,
difference.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And yeah, but obviously I would have had to have learned that somehow. So I'm glad it's been this way, really.
Yeah.
Because now I've got that knowledge and I can take that forward when I'm working on new stuff. And hopefully, because I mean, I know a few people who like writing as well.
Yeah.
I was chatting to someone on Facebook today, actually, and they said, I've been writing something for years and I've never even thought about publishing it. Now it'd be good to sort of have, at least I've got that tiny little bit of knowledge to go, well, this is how I did it.
Yeah.
Maybe you could do it as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. I think like publishing is a different act to writing. Like, it's almost like a completely different skill set altogether. So you can like spend years writing and never actually have anyone read it.
yeah, of course.
So the book, the story's about what, 7,000 words? Did it end up?
I think it was 7,000, maybe 7,500.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I did about 4,000 of that almost in probably about one, maybe two sittings.
Yeah, that's crazy. I was going to ask because, I mean, you pretty much nailed the word count like in the first, like straight away. Was that the plan from the beginning?
No, it really wasn't. But I kind of like throughout the day, I was like jotting down little story beats and I was jotting down little scenes. And then for some reason I thought, oh yeah, maybe this could go in this order. And then by the time I got around to writing it, I had so much to get down.
Yeah.
By the time I'd sort of written for a couple of hours, I think it may have been, that I sort of got to that. Well, obviously on and off, but
yeah.
Obviously I felt a little bit like I'm doing it too fast.
I don't know. I mean, I can't write that fast. Or how long were you sat down for in that one sitting for that 4,000 words?
I don't know. I was probably doing other stuff at the same time, so I wouldn't just sit down and write constantly for the amount of time. I'd write for a bit and then I'd do something else, I'd watch something, listen to something. But I don't know, maybe a few hours, because it was kind of like it was the only evening I knew I was completely free.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I didn't have anything else to tackle, so I thought get as much of it down as possible. Obviously that can be bad sometimes because you feel like you're kind of like forcing it out, but
yeah,
it seems to flow.
That's good. I mean, I struggle to do it in one big sitting. I tend to have to like go right 20 minutes on, and I'll give myself a 5 minute break, another 20 minutes.
It was definitely a one off. It was definitely a one off. Yeah. I don't think I'd want to do that again. I think because after that, I kind of did take it in smaller chunks and I did spend a little bit more time reading it as well.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
So you made the cover. Like, did you make the cover in the first night? Or because I remember you sent me over the cover quite early on.
Yeah, I kind of had it. From a while back.
Yeah.
It was kind of called something else. But basically, I had an idea for writing. I wanted to write a short story about a bank robbery. And I thought, wouldn't it be good if it was kind of like centralized around this dye pack going off in the money? And before I hadn't even written a word. I kind of thought, oh, this might be quite a good image of like the sort of splat of the pink ink and then the name of the book in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And I kind of had that. So I'd had that for a little while. This was where like the very beginning ideas for the story were sort of in my head. Obviously, I had hardly anything, but yeah, that was when I had it. But I still edited it a little bit and
Yeah.
And sort of like the layout and stuff. But yeah.
Do you think having that cover like helped with the story? Sometimes I find, as weird as it sounds, just having an image.
Yeah, definitely. Oh yeah. I always feel like that. Whenever I write something, I always tend to have some piece of imagery first. Like, I've kind of been writing a book, but way before I even had the book, way before I even started writing the book, I was sort of working on it in graphic novel format.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I was working with an artist, from the Philippines. His name's Nino Cagayan.
Cool.
And I was working with him. This was years and years ago, but it was all the visuals. And I thought, this is a bigger story than this. I can kind of feel it. I kind of want to write a book. And it was those visuals that kind of set me off.
Yeah.
I find it like a really easy place to start. As if I create something or see something that I think this is going to be the visual for it.
Yeah. And then it sort of helps you. Because when I was reading the book, I felt like I could sort of see that imagery as well as I was reading it.
Yeah.
And then I just had like little pink like splatter.
Yeah.
It sort of helped me as well. I could sort of see how, as you were writing it, you probably had that image in your head as well.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. It definitely helped.
Were you listening to like music or anything else as you were writing? Or
Yeah, I did. I listened to quite a lot of different stuff, actually. I listened to the Departed soundtrack. I think it's Howard Shore who writes that. It's got loads of good like guitars in it and loads of real like, because it's kind of set in the sort of crime underworld sort of type thing, and it kind of gave me that. I was kind of thinking about the characters that like Jack Nicholson and Leonardo DiCaprio were playing, and that helped me. And so, then, yeah, sorry, go on.
So did you cast your main characters? Like, did you have like?
I always do that. Yeah.
Do you? Okay. So who did you have as your two lead characters?
Okay, main dude.
Yeah.
The detective Vincent Keller is Tim Roth.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
So in my head, he was Tim Roth. Sort of. Have you ever seen like
the face thing with the light when he detects people's lying?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what it's called now, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, I think it's called Lie to Me. Like,
yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
It sounds silly. I've never ever watched an episode, but just from some of the imagery I've seen of him in that, and I mean, I love him and stuff like Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction.
Yeah,
I kind of imagined him as sort of having this sort of like lank, greasy hair on his face, and like a sort of wrinkled, grizzled face, like all sort of tanned from the sun.
Yeah, yeah.
Constantly sweaty, I imagined him for some reason.
Okay, so Tim Roth as the detective.
The detective, yeah. And then the criminal dude, I had a guy called Michael Pitt in mind. I don't know if you've seen Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
The dude with the sort of shaved sides of his hair, and he's got really long hair on the top, isn't he? Remember him? He was kind of like Steve Buscemi's, the young sort of protege.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because he's got quite, I imagine him, because he's got quite like a baby face.
Yeah.
He's a bit sort of like lanky, and he kind of looks, there's something strangely sinister about him.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Even though I don't think this character was supposed to be sinister in any way. It was kind of like I wanted my protagonist to kind of be like the bad guy.
Yeah.
And my antagonist to be essentially a good guy.
Yeah, I think that comes through, especially towards the end, like I don't want to give anything away, but the regret.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely not so much a bad person, I don't think.
Yeah.
He's kind of just good at being a criminal, but.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like he wants to hurt anyone, essentially. Whereas the main character is just kind of a little bit of a bad person.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think he's kind of like trying to at least be on the straight and narrow at this point. He's trying to like leave sort of certain things behind and sort of get on with his career and his family, even though everything's kind of going wrong. But this is still this bit that kind of like drags him back in.
I'll tell you one thing I normally find really hard to write is, you know, the product description on the Amazon page.
Yeah.
How that normally takes me just as long as writing the book sometimes.
Yeah.
So how did you find that?
I didn't really think about it too much. I kind of just used a couple of lines I'd already written.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of think it's all right. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe no, you need it's to fine, yeah.
Look. It's kind of like just a brief description of it. I mean,
yeah.
No, it's cool. Do you think it's worth putting like a quote on there from what anyone said?
It's up to you. I mean,
because you said grim, gruesome, and kind of fun, which I liked. I like that. Obviously, kind words, but
yeah, you could put that. I mean, I know a lot of people who do put. I think I've even done it. Put like the Amazon review quotes in the product description.
Yeah,
just because that's what people see is they go on there.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say one thing. I think it might be worth adding is some sort of call to action at the end of the book.
Okay.
Because so let's say someone reads it and they really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, like random Kindle readers, will probably just move on to the next book. But if you've got something there that says, right at the end, says go to this website or sign up to this mailing list, you'll probably be able to like catch them, or you know, like this Facebook page, catch them for when you write the next book, or if you do write the next book.
That's a good idea. Is it fairly easy to sort of edit and just re-upload the file?
Yeah, I mean, I guess because I did the compiling, I think I'll probably have to do it. But if you can get a hold of Scrivener, I mean, you can do it in Word, but it's just a lot more complicated for some reason. And you tend to find that...
I need to do it really, don't I?
You tend to find that, because when I compiled on Word before, it looks great on some devices, but then on others it's just... It just sort of, I don't know, distorts, and like the words sort of, and the letters all get mixed up, and it's ended up me getting like a 1-star review because it didn't work properly for some Kindle reader.
A 1-star review.
Yeah, and the 1-star review was just I downloaded it, it didn't work on my Kindle, and that was just because I'd done it on Word rather than something like Scrivener.
That's not deserving of a 1-star review, sure.
I don't know. Well,
feels really harsh.
I don't mind. I mean. It made me buy Scrivener.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
How much did you pay for Scrivener?
It's about £30 or something.
Yeah, I think you said that on a previous podcast.
Yeah, I think you can still use that code. So if you use the code Storyteller, you'll still get a discount of like £5.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to invest because obviously I wouldn't want it to come to a point where I keep going.
Yeah.
Luke, could you just do this for me?
That's fine. Yeah. I don't mind. But
I do appreciate all the help and everything. It's been because, as I said before, like I'm really, really new to it. I really didn't know much about anything to do with publishing books. So you've helped me a lot. It's been awesome.
So there you go. Please go check out Diepack. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's a really cool little book. So I think you'll enjoy it. Going forward. If you've got any questions for me on publishing, marketing, coming up with ideas, whatever, you can tweet me at Luke of Condor, that's KONDOR, and I'll answer the questions on the show, or if I don't know the answer, I'll find somebody who does. Also, if you haven't reviewed the show yet, you've got to go and give it a five-star rating in iTunes. It just helps the show to rank and helps people find the show, and... I just like them, to be fair. I just really like them. Cool. Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.